The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolly Marks. In your new time slot, 5:15, how does it feel?
It feels great to be chatting to all of you. I wish we could start the week on more positive news, but, I'm glad to have this opportunity to chat to you. And, if you're tuning into the new time slot for the Israel Report, welcome, to it.
Fantastic. Rolin, with this, I'm sure that we're going to be talking about the Barkhane terror attack. I'll tell you what we know so far, and perhaps you can just update us. So they work together. The perpetrator and the victims worked together. He had a permit to get in to work in this factory. They were tied up and shot execution style.
Okay, so what we do know, and the manhunt still continues for Ashraf Nahlawa, 23-year-old Palestinian from the village of Shilwecha near Tulkarem, who was, as you just said, an employee of Alon, which was part of the Barkhane industry or industrial park, which was actually a model for integration between Israelis and Palestinians working together. So what we do know is that the manhunt is still underway. RDF and security forces have arrested members of his family. They have taken them in for questioning, and they have isolated the home for possible destruction. Also, what we know is that there are conflicting reports as to what his state of mind was beforehand. You know, of course, security forces will go back onto his social media and check out any postings that could give any clues as to why he may have done this, as to his state of mind. You know, initially when it broke, some said that it was because he was dismissed from the company, that it perhaps wasn't a terror attack, that it was a criminal act. We know now it has been confirmed it was a terrorist attack, and there are conflicting reports whether or not he left he was suicidal, or that he wasn't suicidal at all, but these were nationalistically motivated. So one report has him saying that he's waiting to meet Allah. You know, those familiar with terror attacks that often lead, in this case, to suicide by security forces, know that it's carried out to have martyrdom, to have the status of shaheed. Other reports have him saying that, you know, be happy for the sake of being happy. The army is not releasing too many details because they are concerned about possible copycat attacks. And what we do also know is that there are two families, the Yeheskel family, who have buried the mother, Kim, 28 years old. She was handcuffed and shot execution style. It is not confirmed whether the second victim, Ziv Hajbi, was handcuffed. We know he was shot execution style as well, and also that a third victim, Sarah Vaturi, who was moderately wounded, shot in the stomach, has just within the last couple of hours been released from hospital. But a heartbroken Israel as we bury two more young people, a mother of one, 28 years old, a father of three, who would have been celebrating his 35th birthday on Friday.
Rolin, has there been any condemnation from Hamas?
There has not been any condemnation from Hamas. I'm glad you asked that question, Kathy, because it is very important. Reuven Rivlin, our president, has appealed to the Palestinian Authority to condemn these attacks. Nothing has been said yet. But what we also know, the images coming out of Gaza and the West Bank yesterday after the attack took place, and it was confirmed that two Israelis were killed, were that Palestinian Jihad, Islamic Jihad, handed out sweets, and they praised the attack, as did Hamas. So this is a reaction we have had from our neighbors in Gaza and the West Bank. We've also had a little bit of war of words or a little bit of a tweeting war between Deputy Minister Michael Oren and the European Union's representative to Israel and the territories, who tweeted that violence cannot be condoned. And Michael Oren pushed his buttons on Twitter and said, "What, you know, is it more than that? Are you going to tweet about where they were from? Are you going to call them settlers?" Or base, you know, it became a very, very heated and escalated war of words. We're still waiting for condemnation from other countries around the world. If anybody hears of these statements of condemnation, please let us know, because we haven't heard any.
Raleen, you said earlier that the Barkhane Industrial Zone, it was really a setup as a model where Israelis and Palestinians could work together. Do you think that this is going to have an impact on the possibility of that model continuing? Do Israelis see it as a once-off attack?
Well, that is a very, very excellent and important question. You know, the Barkhane Industrial Park, which is located near Ariel in the Shomron, employs about 8,000 people, and roughly half of them are Israelis and the other half Palestinians. And the third victim, Sara Vaturi, who was shot in the stomach yesterday, mentioned that both a Palestinian and a Jew came to her aid and, you know, waited with her and tried to help and stem the bleeding until the ambulance services arrived. And she also spoke about the fact that, you know, they worked very, very well together. There had been some reservations in the past, you know, whether or not they could work in peace. The owner of the company, Alon, or the CEO, has hoped that this will not affect the ability of Palestinians and Israelis to work closely together. You know, I like to think that the majority do not want any escalation or this to ruin what has been a very, very peaceful working environment over the last a couple of years, and really, really hoping that this is and remains an isolated incident.
I hope so, because you know, how is it sustainable? How is violence and hatred sustainable? And I'm talking about on both sides. You know, it's not. It's not sustainable. So, wouldn't it be nice if we spoke about peace in the Middle East? Really, let's move on a little bit. On that note about peace, is Israel preparing for a Gaza offensive?
Well, on the subject of peace in the Middle East, the shortest book ever written, Kath, are we preparing for a possible Gaza offensive? And this is where it gets interesting, because it may not be for the reasons you think it is. Okay. Nothing in this region is ever cut and dry. You know, it's mostly neon yellow with purple squiggles. But what has happened as of the last couple of days is that Qatar is funneling aid to Hamas, and Hamas run the Gaza Strip. Now, this has angered the Palestinian Authority, and the Palestinian Authority have threatened that they will cut off the flow of funds that they sent to Hamas, and they sent some $96 million monthly to the Gaza Strip. Now, if they fail to do so, this will create an even more shocking humanitarian crisis. And, you know, this comes on the back of the United States pulling funding from UNRWA and a lot of funding that is going towards these kind of organizations being pulled because of the, many see it as kind of propagating the conflict even further, even though we do have, and I must just stress this, we do have elements within the Israeli political and security establishment who are concerned that if too much money is pulled from organizations like UNRWA, it worsens the humanitarian crisis. So Israel's concern is that should the Palestinian Authority not send through their $96 million that they send through monthly to Hamas, that there will be reprisals that will filter into Israel, that Hamas and other elements within the Gaza Strip will attack Israel, will take their frustration for the worsening humanitarian crisis out on Israel. It will create a or exacerbate an already violent situation, and we may have to go in some kind of ground offensive. Some of you may be familiar with the fact that Hamas, just in the last couple of weeks, mentioned that these protests on the border with Israel are not necessarily because they want to return home, even though that's what they keep saying. It's because they want to divert from the crisis between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority.
Rolene Marks, that is where we leave it today. Thank you very, very much for your in-depth knowledge and for just being able to have this, you know, this time with you. It feels fantastic. So thank you very, very much. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow. And tomorrow we can even look at Netanyahu and Putin and what happened and what they wore and what they ate.
Will they have a date? That's the million shekel question. Will they have a date?
Rolene Marks, thank you so much. God bless.
God bless.
Bye.